One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I've lived day to day, and listened to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me in my home is Dave Callens.
Oh, your garage, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's part of the house. And behind the soundboard, Robert Timothy.
Soon he'll let us in the actual house, Dave.
I know, right? Eventually.
I mean, soon's...
Let's check clears.
Let's cool on the soon. You'll be let in eventually. Well, you were let in this week for Bobby's big birthday party.
That's true. Right. I have to thank you guys. You guys threw me, like, the best surprise birthday party I've ever had. Complete with the fact that you decked it out with things that I love. You had a bunch of J's, you had El Pollo Loco, and Coke
J's.
Zero Cherry.
Yes, and Zero Coke. That's
that's true.
Kind of lame.
But really was more like a little kid's birthday party in a lot of those ways, huh?
It was, and some of your friends showed up who I didn't know who probably drank my whiskey.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Why I'm not having some whiskey right now.
In my house, I have my own private bar, and I open it up to very few people. That's my private captain's reserve stash.
And they raided it?
Well, not at first. Dave has carte blanche to my bar. He knows that. But then he let our buddy Dave Novin fucking find out about it.
See, I do take fault for that. I blame myself because since I've known Shores, I've been over here, I just have full access to the bar. I think that's baseline normal for everybody.
So
when I was in there getting whiskey, I was like, oh, yeah, he's got some whiskey in here.
There's a good 10 people that get access to the bar, and all of a sudden, Novin found out. I was like, hey, oh, there's whiskey? Hey, everyone, there's whiskey. and one of your friends came up and heard there's whiskey. I'm like, no.
At some point, Dave turned to Novin and went, oh, I guess I didn't know. I've always been Ryan's real friend. I didn't realize how this worked.
He's a fucking sink for fucking whiskey. He just pours it right down. By the time I wanted a little snoot of that, it was all gone.
My favorite part of that is that I ended up finding out about the party a little bit early, but I found out for like the best possible reason you could find out, because two things tipped me off. One is there was like a big breaking science story that was going on at that time, and I was going to go to...
Ooh, breaking science story.
Right.
Would they find a mastodon skull or something?
It actually was a mastodon site. Yes.
You know,
that's really weird. That's bizarre that you pulled that out of nowhere. That's a weird, like...
I keep current, Bobby. I knew about the mastodon.
That's like a savant thing.
Weirder, he was listening to mastodon before we got here.
Yeah. But it was funny because before, my wife's pretense to this was like, oh, hey, I'm going to this thing at our niece's school.
And I was in cahoots with Bobby's wife.
Right. And then Shores called me up and said, hey, I want to talk to you about something. Can you come over on this day? And I was like, hey. Well, I don't know. It's the day. Not only is it near my birthday, it's the day before my anniversary. I might have something to do with my wife. And you're like, oh, yeah, just come over for an hour or so. And I was like, oh, okay. And then my wife said, all right, well, when I'm driving there on my way, it's on the way there. I'll just drop you off and pick you up later. And I was like, okay, well, that works out. Then this big science story broke, and there was supposed to be a press conference that night. And I was like, fuck, I got to go there. To this press conference.
And
like
commandeer the fucking press conference.
Science signal shines in the sky, and Bobby's like, they need me.
They do need me, because they're promoting bullshit.
There's a spotlight with a big microscope in the middle of it. He's like, I need it.
So I told my wife, I was like, oh, I think I'm going to have to bail on Ryan. That really sucks, because he was saying he really wanted to talk to me. And she, all of a sudden, was very sad, and very like, you really shouldn't do that. And I'm like, man, she knows how important this conference is to me. There's no way that she would be acting this way. And that's what tipped me off, is she is not selfish enough to act in that manner when it wouldn't affect her that way. And so I was like, ooh, there might be something more here. And then I thought back to when I had called up Ryan and I said, hey, Ryan, I don't know if I can do this. That's the day before my anniversary. And Ryan said, well, yeah, but just come over for an hour. Those who might not know this about Ryan, he's incredibly considerate. And so he, in hearing it's my anniversary, Ryan Shores, with no ulterior motives, would be like, oh, absolutely, never mind. We will reschedule 100%.
Right.
And so, in a way, it was the fact that the two people who were very nice to plan this for me are actually good human beings that ended up tipping me off.
Well, there's another thing, too, is because, like I said, we were in cahoots. At first, it was, hey, come over and have a beer, you know, which Bobby's down to do usually. But then, when she's like, hey, by the way, he might be wanting to do something for our anniversary, or there's, something else might be going on.
Some stupid mastodon thing.
Yeah. I was like, okay, well, I'm like, what should I do? And so I got Groobs in on it. I'm like, okay, how do I get Bobby over here for sure? And then, I don't know who suggested it, definitely wasn't me, was like, make him think you're depressed. I'm like, that's emotional terrorism.
Absolutely.
I'm like, I can't do that because, by the way, I have a history of people, like, aren't really close friends, but friends enough for a while, pulling that card on me, like, I'm depressed, I might hurt myself if you don't hang out with me. And that's a very unfair thing to lay on someone. So I'm like, is there any other way? Because I really don't want to pull that card. Like, dude, there is no other way. We've been planning this for a month. We've been planning it for a month and a half,
wow,
actually. So I'm like,
that's awesome.
So they're like, dude, we've already bought the catering. We've bought the cake. Like, everyone has already reserved that night.
El Pollo Loco, by the way, spared no expense.
Woo! Hey, that is the number one restaurant in San Diego, as far as I'm concerned.
And it was expensive. So
yeah.
I'm like, shit, we've already dropped all this money. Everyone's doing this. I'm like, I'm going to have to imply I'm killing myself, aren't I? I even like ran by him a few times, like, all right, come on, is there any other way besides this emo card? And they're like, no, just drop it, dude. I'm like, all right, here goes. And I was like, hey, listen, there's some things that aren't going well right for me at the moment, and I just no one else I could talk to, and fashioned a new set of a bed sheet. No, you didn't respond. I didn't mean to type that, but and I screenshotted what I texted to you, and I'm like, I need a fucking shower.
What's funny is I looked at it and he's like, yeah, I just want to talk to you about some stuff. I'm having a hard time. And I'm like, I wonder if he's having some trouble with his car. He probably needs me over there to come work on his car.
The worst part was Jill tells me, even after you thought I was in emotional trouble, you're like, I still might hit the science thing. I'm like, motherfucker, he thinks I'm about to jump off a goddamn building and he's still going to the Mastodon shit? Motherfucker, he's ditching me for some shit?
Shores is really trying to get into character. He's listening to Johnny Cash's Hurt. He's got 13 Reasons Why on Netflix. He's just like, all right,
yeah,
I can do this.
I've got all the self-help books, like, you know, picking up the pieces. Don't do it.
Just to make sure, just for the last bit of insurance, we recorded our podcast hours before this party.
Right.
So Ryan left first. And right before I left, Bobby, because you stayed to record your other one.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, is Shores okay? He seems a little off. Just to make sure you were going to go. And credit to your character, you stayed mom on the whole. Oh, I don't know. Seems all right. Like, you didn't even hint that you were going to go talk to him, which means you were a good friend that you were keeping that secret.
I did say to both, to your wife, to my fiance, I'm like, I do know one thing. I'm lousy with guilt that I've pulled this horrible, horrible farce on Bobby.
But it's for a good thing.
It is. I mean, people had to keep reminding me that my ends justified my means. But at the same time, I'm like, at least I found out I can tell him fucking anything.
That's true.
Because, I mean, by all accounts, he's not spilled the beans that I'm about to put my head in the oven.
That's right.
So that's good.
That's true. I am the lock safe. No, but I loved it. It was fantastic. All the Gorgeous were there. It was absolutely amazing. I did get a little too wasted at one point.
There was a time where, because Damien brought you an entire Ziploc baggie full of joints,
yeah,
not J's, and we were all outside drinking, going around in circles telling stories, and I noticed the way Bobby stood up from the circle and walked inside, where I looked at John and went, I'm going to go have a minute with him and just see, make sure everything is on the level here. And then I heard a loud crash in my kitchen. I'm like, oh, red alert. And so I was leading Bobby by his shoulders to the couch, and it was one of those times you were so stoned that I had to remind myself no one's ever died from weed before, because you looked exactly like every friend I've ever had that was about to overdose on a drug, a hard drug,
right,
or like get alcohol poisoning, where your legs were bobbing and you were holding on to my door jamb. I'm like, whoa, whoa.
It'd be great if this was my re-trick on Ryan, my version of I really need to talk to you. I was faking the weed seizure. No, well, I had the crossfade on. I'm not a big drinker, and I've actually been cutting back on the J's quite a bit. So when I hit it real hard at your party, they caught up to me quite quickly, and we were out telling stories, having a great time, and I felt it coming on. I was like, oh, I need to go sit down someplace quiet.
Yeah,
right,
what
now
was going through your mind?
I started getting a little bit of tunnel vision, a little bit of, I could tell I might pass out at some point.
You went pale as a ghost.
And I was like,
for you.
Yeah, I know, it's hard to do. And so I was like, all right, man, well, I'm going to try and do this inconspicuously and not ruin everyone's night. So I'm just going to go into the couch. I'm going to close my eyes for 5 minutes, come on back, and I'll be fine. But instead, I got perilously lost in the Lord of the Rings-style adventure that was your kitchen.
Yeah, my kitchen is not a maze, by the way. It is a single room.
You're like Johnny Depp in Fear and Loathing when he huffed that ether and tried to walk into the casino.
Yeah.
Right. It was a lot like that. Yeah. Or Wolf of Wall Street when Leo is trying to get into his Lamborghini from the country.
Very much like that. Yeah. Yeah, he was trying to get in my oven.
But that's the great thing about weed is I sat down for 6 minutes.
It seemed like 6 minutes to Bobby. It was an hour and a half.
That's right. I was out for good. Opened my eyes, walked back. I was like, all right, let's keep going.
A couple of us, too, since this whole thing was predicated on Ryan being depressed, we really wanted, just for an extra laugh, like after the surprise and hey, cake and all that shit, we wanted Ryan to pull you aside and be like, seriously, I need to talk to you.
And speaking of the cake, for those regular listeners, we got Bobby
so good.
Something that, as he talked about on a previous episode, it was his only failure in life. We got him a Fred Savage cake.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good.
And we saved his face for you.
Yeah, I ate his face and I got super high and ate a lot of the frosting off it. It was fantastic. It was just such a good night. It was fantastic. Thank you guys so much.
I'm glad you had fun. One thing I wanted to bring up to you guys is I was doing a road gig a couple nights ago, and I was in my car. I'd forgotten my aux cable for my phone, so I'm at the mercy of the radio, which these days we're so spoiled. We're so spoiled having access to every podcast, every SiriusXM station, every song we've ever thought of at our fingertips, that when you forget the aux cable and you just have like those four local stations, if they're not playing anything, well, then you're fucked. And so I have, like, you know, a two-hour trip each way, 4 hours round trip. And I did something that sometimes I do when I'm left to the mercy of radio. I do it about once a year. I went, what's on AM radio? I do it once a year, and it's always a huge mistake.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, all right, what's on there? Maybe I can find some interesting talk radio. I think I'm going to put on, like, hear NPR-style radio. No.
NPR's on FM.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what it takes to get an AM radio station.
I think we could have one. Like, I think nowadays, especially, we could probably buy one for like $60 and our old Blockbuster card.
Yeah. What do you mean? Like a ham radio and a history of mental illness?
Pretty much.
Like, every time I put it on, it's like, you know, long stretch of highway, just me on the way to a gig or on the way back from, which is even worse. And I'll put it on, like, all right, here's some talking. First few things is always, always evangelical preaching. It's always.
Yeah.
It's just, and in the worst kinds, it's just like, oh, in Psalm 35. No, it is, and Jesus wants you to never have sex.
Very theatrical, fire and brimstone, all that shit.
And I used to listen to it all the time. I used to drive back and forth when I was in college from the Bay Area down to San Diego, back and forth all the time, like at least once or twice a month. And so I had a lot of driving in the middle of the valley, and it was before podcasts and everything. And I listened to a lot of, I was an atheist for almost my entire life. I listened to a lot of evangelical radio. It's very interesting if you get into it.
And let me hear an amen. If you've ever had a prostitute right angle your manhood in front of the congregation. A lot of that going on. And then you switch it a little further, and that's when you get the heavy right wing, super political talk radio. And this is where I'm like, okay, The evangelical Christians, I get they have a built-in audience.
Right.
But these guys are fucking off the reservation.
Well, absolutely. But then you listen to that and you're like, oh, this is why Trump got elected.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, think about it. Like, Alex Jones is basically even nuttier than a lot of those people, and he's one of the biggest media
outlets
in the world.
Alex Jones, the performance artist?
Exactly.
I listened to it for a good 20 minutes. And maybe even longer, but it was just every station was a guy who they're all acting like Obama is still in office.
Right. And he's got a shadow government.
And I kept saying to myself, this is an old episode. They're re-airing some shit from 2 years ago. But they kept saying it is April 28th, 2017, and we need to talk about what Obama is talking about these days. It is, we cannot have this. I'm going to play you a clip from a speech from 2 years ago. And it'll cut to Obama speaking. It'll cut back to him. Terrible. We cannot have this. I'm like, what do you mean we can't have this? He's out of office. What are you upset about? Like, he's basically saying, we do not have a time machine. We do not have a time machine yet that will prevent what happened the last 8 years from happening. And then I turned it off. I went back to FM radio. I'm like, come on, can I get a Metallica song? Can I? I'll settle for Deftones. Come on. And then I'd switch back. He'd be like, he was just naming forefathers that would not have liked Obama. He's like,
Jefferson would have owned him.
Jefferson would not have liked Obama. Benjamin Franklin would not have liked Obama. Alexander Hamilton would not have liked Obama. I'm like, is this all you do all day?
And now Shore's like, maybe we should change our podcast to this, get some more listeners.
I don't know how many listeners they have.
Yeah, it is funny. I loved getting like interesting tidbits, like little phrases when I would listen to AM radio that I would then hear people repeat in real life, and then I'd understand where they got it.
Yeah.
A few of them was jihadist fist bump, which was in reference to actually after Obama in like 2009 fist bumped somebody instead of shaking their hand.
Oh.
It became a jihadist fist bump.
That was actually did that with Michelle, and Fox News was all over that too.
Yeah.
And then the other one, which I loved, which was great, is before Obama becomes president, because it's huge in the Midwest, conservatives tended to love the sport of basketball. Like, it's a big sport in the Midwest.
Dude, Hoosiers.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Then he got elected. They show a couple clips of him playing basketball, and they started referring to it as liberal basketball.
Oh, my God.
Which was one of my favorite phrases.
Liberal basketball.
He's out playing liberal basketball.
He had the ball, and he gave 30% of it to some other guy who didn't have any bullshit.
The hoop is like 12 feet in diameter.
Yeah. It's 4 feet off the ground. That's liberal basketball.
I hear that basketball allows you to shoot regardless of your gender orientation.
Yeah. How am I supposed to explain to my son or daughter that we don't know the gender of the man holding the basketball? Ooh, I assumed his gender.
You can shoot free the hoop. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. Not in my America. Not in my America. So I get really upset when I do I post a joke online and in the comments. It happens once a day. And someone puts a clip from either Family Guy, The Simpsons, or South Park just in the comments and doesn't explain it. And I rarely watch it because I'm like, oh, I don't care what this says. But usually when I do watch it, it has very little to do with my joke, actually. It may have mentioned one thing. I don't know why that bothers me so much. I think, number one, are you implying I fucking stole this?
No, they're saying, look, here's a funnier version.
Even then, I'm like, is this your height of comedy? Oh, hey, Mr. Comedian doing something original. Well, guess what? I watch The Simpsons. Oh, fuck you, nerd.
Yeah, and again, it's hard to... So Simpsons been on for like 30 years. You know what's crazy? I was just realizing is...
I saw something simple of The Simpsons. It's such a just a cunty thing to do. Hell, you made a joke? Here's The Simpsons. Fuck you, you dumb fuck.
Even though it was off for a long time, Family Guy's been on for almost 20 years. It's been on for like 15 to 20 years now.
Yeah.
And so it's when you have that much back material, we're all in the same culture. We're all going to think of similar jokes. It would be silly to think that one person posting something wouldn't have some element of something else.
It makes you look like you're saying, I ripped this off from this cartoon.
But everybody knows you've been ripping off The Simpsons for years.
Yeah.
The whole angry guy, just the rants. It's all classic Homer.
Who hasn't?
You know what's funny, Ryan? You brought up the whole comedians ragging on you thing. I got a very specific type of ragging on me this week, and it's one you rarely get. Scientist ragging.
Ah!
Ooh, that sounds mean.
Yeah.
Gross, kind of.
Kind of a little dirty. But, no, so there was an article, is the one we were talking about, the big mastodon find here in San Diego.
Ooh, who's not talking about it?
Actually, a lot of people are talking about it. Thank you very much, Ryan. It's on the front page of every major news organization.
Yeah, I do, because I almost fucked up my shit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And this is a guy I've actually worked with, the guy who discovered it, Richard Cerruti. He's been talking about it for decades. I talked to him first about it back in, like, 2009 and read his paper and stuff. Long story short, it is being way, way misreported. In terms of like, oh, we definitely have hominids here 130,000 years ago, which would be huge and upend archaeology and paleoanthropology and the history
Ryan's
of the world.
Ryan's already nodding off.
Right. Regardless, for Science Faction, I wrote a blog about this and we covered it on the thing.
As you should.
And this blog blew our website up, and as well as...
Eight people, man.
Yeah,
can you believe
it? Right? As well as the actual show itself. And... It was
nothing more pretentious than you guys. I wrote a blog.
Yeah, I know, right? It was a big deal. Well, that's my whole point is...
You start bothering comedians after their shows? I do what you do. I'm a blogger.
I'm a blogger.
That's how you introduce him to you. I'm a Robert Timothy, archaeologist and blogger.
I've written way better shit before and it never got any attention. Anyway, long story short, people started reading this and sending a bunch of hate mail because they're like, no, fuck you. You just try to keep the mammoth underground. You're trying to keep it from the people. And I'm getting a mixture of two things. One is some scientists or low-level scientists who are working near the project who really like the idea, who are sending me
low-level guys.
Low-level dudes. And then the second one is people who are kind of like the Alex Jones type, who are like, you're perpetuating conspiracy because you don't want people to figure out about this.
Are those guys racist against Mastodon somehow?
I could see that. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close to Mexico, so you could call it a Mexican Mastodon. But regardless, it's a really interesting thing because you're getting a sort of hate mail from people who don't realize how immune you are to hate mail from being a comedian. Like, if you do anything in comedy, like Ryan said, you've had 1,000 people post things on your wall. You have had a bunch of people heckle you at shows. You've done anything like that. So it's weird when scientists try and give the deep, biting comments.
Hang on, I'm looking up a clip of Homer Simpson talking about getting hate mail. I'm gonna post
about a Mastodon site.
Loud.
Now, I know how to handle trolls when they come after me.
Right.
Where I'm like, this is a guy that wants attention. You know, this is a guy who lives in, I don't know, bumfuck Iowa, that has no life, found my page and went, wow, this guy gets a lot of attention. I'm going to jump on there, mm-hmm. and I'm going to fucking say something mean, and hopefully when they respond, I can feel like I'm part of these people's lives because I sit in my basement. When it's a science thing.
Right.
And it's a little, I mean, do you feel compelled to actually respond, to put them in their place, or do you see them like I do, just, that's a guy that's just trying to get attention?
I did for the first few. Like, I did because there was just
so
a
you're
few,
new to this.
Yeah, for those trickling in, because, right, like, if it had been a comedy thing, I would ignore it. I get a bunch of, we've talked about before, like, I've gotten some crazy hate stuff posted on my Facebook wall, and I usually just ignore it. For the science thing, I'm used to responding for science types things. Hey, oh, hey, here, let me provide you this information. Let me do this. Let me do that. I did respond for the first few. I had to stop after a while, especially when the kind of nutty conspiracy theory people started sending me the messages. And I don't know if I got put on some weird Alex Jones website or something, but I had this weird spike in like readers from odd places that were reading this article and then giving me hate mail. I think somewhere along in this world, if I look out, I will find some kind of podcast where somebody hate-talked me, and all of a sudden it caused this sudden weird spike to people to just flood my box.
For me, it is when it comes to people leaving mean comments, because they're not all trolls exactly. I can always tell the difference between someone who thinks they're making a righteous point and someone who is just trying to get attention. For instance, like when I interviewed a kind of famous musician and put it out there and it got a lot of attention, so there was like at least one or two guys that all of a sudden, who I'd never even heard from before, posting things on all my Facebook pages like, hey man, you look like shit. Hey man, you're ugly. You're a fucking ugly guy. I'm like, all right, here's a guy that saw me interviewing someone they probably like and went, why should he get to do that? No, I'm going to make him feel bad as I do. So that I'm just like, yeah, we'll block that guy. We will not engage with this, you know, childish behavior. But then sometimes when I'll post a joke and someone's like, here's why you're sexist, here's why you're racist, I'm like, okay, no, we're not blocking this person, because this person is not just trying to be a troll, they're trying to feel in the right, and I've got to now not defend myself necessarily, but take them down a peg.
Yes, I like that.
A whole peg. That's a Principal Skinner quote from the season. Dude, I was on the other side. I was on the childish side of that earlier today. I know I'm a few days late on this, but when Ann Coulter tweeted about, hey, we'll compromise. Let's let North Korea build nukes, but only if they can just reach Tijuana. So just today, I was like, I'm going to reply to her and hope that some crazy conservative fans of hers come back at me with some shit.
Right.
So I replied. I was like, that's a good compromise. I have another one about the Second Amendment. Everybody gets a gun, but they can only point them at you. So I'm the troll in this scenario.
I like that.
Just waiting to see if somebody...
I mean, listen. Well, first of all, trolling Ann Coulter, that's like sucker punching the champion of the knockout game. Like, Ann Coulter is... The entire thing is she's a troll.
She's going for it, too. She's got the look and everything.
I've always said, like, people always talk about, like, Milo Yiannopoulos or whatever.
Yeah, Poopadoopoulos, yeah.
He's an internet troll. It's like, no, he's not. He's just a less original, gayer Ann Coulter. Like, because Ann Coulter was doing his exact bit for the past 20 years.
So Ann Coulter's MST3K.
She is, and he's the degenerates.
On the subject of trolls, this goes a little bit wider than this, but I don't know if you guys have seen this a lot, but I definitely have, is people that somehow have gotten in their heads that they are friends with celebrities they've met like one time.
Yeah.
Or maybe not at all. I'm bringing this up because Jimmy Kimmel did a very did a monologue, a very heavy one.
Oh, your buddy, Jimmy Kimmel, yeah.
Right, yeah, my good friend. That made a lot of waves. And about his son being born with, I believe it was a heart palpitation, where, you know, he almost died. And, you know, he brought it around to about modern-day healthcare. And next day, of course, a bunch of trolls online going, oh, this entitled jerk, he's rich, fuck him. And I saw a lot of people. There's so much to defend there. There's so much to say, like, what are you talking about? This is a child. This is... The state of healthcare.
It's a rich liberal child.
Yeah, right. A lot of people took the stance of, and I saw this exactly, hey, you shut up. Jimmy Kimmel's a friend of mine. And I know this person. I'm like, no, he's not. I know you. I actually know Jimmy Kimmel's sister. And I know for a fact you're not friends with either of them. And then the guy came back, well, I'm friends with Jimmy Fallon. I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
Are they just both Jimmys?
He's like with all the Jimmys.
I see this all the time. Anytime a celebrity is being attacked, someone always takes the stance of, hey, that's a friend of mine. It goes back to what we said before in a previous episode. I met them one time or something like that. Something weird. And I wanted to get
or
you guys...
I went to elementary school with them.
Something. I wanted your take on it because I think there's a few different species of the person that claims they're friends with celebrities that they're super not. Comics I can get because they're trying to appear big time. Right. Every comic that I do the road with, it's always like, oh, you mean my good friend Bill Burr? Oh, you mean my good friend Louis C.K.? Yeah, I was hanging out with Billy the other day. And my buddy Patton Oswalt, we have lunch all the time. I'm like, you're lying, but I understand why. You're trying to impress me by name dropping. I don't believe you. You're fucking working the same dive bar I am. But I at least understand why you're doing it. But there's other people. What do you guys think, psychology degree holders?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Let's start doing psychology with Dave and Bobby.
Do you think these people that just always are talking about, you know, such and such celebrities, my friend, do you think they're delusional and actually think that?
No, they're trying to brag. But here's...
All of them?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of delusion involved, definitely.
Maybe. Some of them have to be like De Niro and the Kings of Comedy, where they're in their head because they watch them on TV every night, like, that's my friend.
Yes.
He knows me back. Yeah. He thinks about me as much as I think about him. You don't think there's a little bit of that?
Well, okay, maybe. And I've seen some crazy enough people that seem like it. Here's the flip side to that, and I wonder if this has ever happened to you. I've been talking with comics before. So it'd be like me and a comic, and we're talking backstage, or we're talking outside in the smoking porch.
Listen to this guy, profession dropping over.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know comics.
And when we're talking, we'll be talking about another famous comedian. Like, oh, hey, I just saw Bill Burr and blah, 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 blah. And we'll go through it. Oh, I love Bill. Oh, you know what I like best about Bill is, oh, he changes this set. And I just, oh, yeah, I see him every weekend. A third person walks up and you're saying, oh, well, Bill's new material is really good because blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, it sounds as if you're trying to make it sound like you're his friend. You're like, no. Listen, I just want no stolen valor here.
Yeah.
I don't know Bill Burr. I'm just referencing him casually because if this conversation said Bill Burr every time, we would sound like autistic people referencing this human being. I have gotten cut on the backside of that because I'm so wary of those people that every once in a while you accidentally start sounding like one and you're like, no.
Yeah.
I'm friends with a friend of Bill Burr's, like Jason Lawhead.
Lawhead.
Comic. Good guy. I went up to see him and Bill Burr perform a couple years back, and because Jason's my friend, I got to go into the green room for like 2 minutes after the show. And Bill Burr, it was weird because like he was acting like just a regular comic.
Right.
Like, to us, he's like, holy shit, he's made it. But he was looking at Jason and me, he's like, eh, I tried this one line. Do you guys think that worked? Like asking advice,
right.
Which was cool. But if I was a different type of person, I could go around afterwards and talk about, Bill Burr was asking me for advice, you know, like that kind of thing.
You write for Bill Burr.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. I get a lot of that.
There's that type of mentality where they would take that situation and be like, oh, me and Bill Burr are friends. He asked me for advice on a joke. And I'm like, that's the kind that I don't really get. Like,
yeah, and
you're a little delusional.
I worked with somebody once who claimed to know all the L.A. Kings and Michael Jackson.
Was it that big fat lady that was a porn star?
It was. She took Michael Jackson's death day and the day after off work because she said it was a personal tragedy.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. And she was real bad. Like, she was definitely like, everybody knows me. Yeah, I'm like, you're a 55.
What did she do? What capacity did she work for your office?
She did historic sorting. So, like, when we would screen out dirt, she would sit there and sort through and pull out things like shell fragments to be identified later on.
What degree did she hold to have that job?
She might have had a history degree.
Dirt management?
Yeah.
If she was doing historical artifacts.
Refuse
like
management.
Bottles and bullshit like that, she might have had a history degree. I don't know. I'm not an office person, so like she was just somebody I would see passing by in the office. But holy shit, was it weird, because you also have to sit there. I mean, this is the other part that people don't talk about. The awkwardness of sitting there watching somebody going, I know you're lying.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you know you're lying.
Yeah.
Why are we still talking about this?
Right.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, when me and my friend Olivia Munn talk about shit like this, like, we say the same
right.
shit. Like,
well, you can... In
by the way, my friend Jennifer Lawrence doesn't like her, so don't bring her up around her.
In everyday conversation, if somebody starts doing that, you can just be like, oh, fuck this guy. If you're a comedian and somebody's and there's another comedian who does that, you'd be like, fuck this guy, and just walk away. When you're at work, you're trapped with that person. You have to sit there and go through this ruse as long as possible, because the only alternative is to be like, hey, why are you bullshitting me? And then you get another couple years of awkward sitting in that room next to that person.
I think that, going back to trolls, though, I think that that is why they like to say mean things to celebrities. I've seen this a lot where it's like, oh, I tweeted Patton Oswalt, you're fat. And
right.
then like, when you you bring that person up, like, oh, Patton Oswalt doesn't like me. No, don't bring my name up around Patton, because we have a history. And like, that's just them trying to latch onto their life and,
right.
and make themselves feel like they're part of it. Like, tweeting something mean to a celebrity does not make you part of their life, no matter how much you want it to.
It's also drastically overestimating your effect on anybody.
Right,
right, right, right.
Hey, you know, speaking of trolls and a science, Bobby, when you find a troll skeleton,
right.
is it hard to carbon date? Like, how old are trolls? Like,
yeah, well,
they,
as everybody knows...
Do you find a whole skeleton, or is it more like you find...
The ratio of carbon-14 isotopes in a troll skeleton is obviously already offset because they're trolls,
listen, don't
right?
go over my head here with this bullshit. I just want a simple answer.
No, I know what he's talking about. I'm an archaeologist. I believe we...
this is the gentleman from Dignam.
From Dignam University. Rich Provolone here. And listen, he's right. You know,
Indiana Jones is not like me.
No. Don't bring my name up around Indy. We go
Indy
back.
Was the dog's name.
Well, I mean, you know, I brought that up too. Anyway, listen, over at Dignam University, Rich Provolone here, by the way, we have a little thing about... You can identify Dave with the hair. It's very poseable. There's a jewel in their belly.
Did you invent the cheese?
Yes. Listen, Bobby's close. I understand where he's coming from, but really, trolls, it's about the price tag underneath their feet. We have a whole system.
First of all, I do like the idea that the Dignam's guy is going to come back on a regular basis. He does need to make his appearance every once in a while.
Hey, Rich Perlone here. You don't need to speak about me like I'm not in the room. You know, over at Dignam or...
Isn't Dignam the name of the mascot for Sugar Smack cereal?
I don't know.
That's how it started.
The official cereal of your university?
Well, you know, he was the mascot for us first. One of my my frat brothers over there at DU,
Wait, are you a professor or a student? I'm so confused.
Frat brothers, not faculty, frat. I was in...
So you're not teaching at this university?
No. I was a student before. Listen,
okay.
Pipe down here. When I was in Kappa Kappa Kappa.
Are you the only professor who's in a fraternity?
No, I used to be in a fraternity, and now I'm a professor, you know? And obviously. Keep up here, guy.
It's the party professor.
That is what they refer to me. I'm kind of I keep it hip, you know?
By the way, side note, sorry, Rich, I didn't mean to interrupt you. The trolls thing reminded me of something. If you want to know one of the weirdest things I've ever found. And this
no,
is,
I don't.
This
Go
is,
ahead, Rich.
Yes, please call me Mr. Provolone.
This is true. This is by the Princess Pub. If you drive by Princess Pub, which is in Little Italy near downtown San Diego, that's a very famous British bar. They're doing this big, giant project out there right now. I was there when they did the first subsurface work, and I started finding bottles that were from 80s, some in the 70s, some in the
90s. I found an ancient beer can!
And believe it or not, there's archaeologists who just study that. They're boring as shit. But regardless, I started finding these
this
bottles.
This is something called Crystal Pepsi. All right? It was very big.
In those bottles, I started finding finding tied
genies.
Up. Just rubbed it. I started finding tied up effigies of women. So some of them were made out of clay. Some of them were cloth dolls, but they were all like.
What year were these from?
The 70s, 80s, and 90s. And they were buried around the
1980s?
Area. Yeah. And they were women with like either clay dolls or cloth dolls of women with their hands and feet tied, shoved inside of a bottle. So just so you guys know, whenever you're out there, there's some weird voodoo shit going on around Princess Pub.
Hmm.
You weren't supposed to dig those up, but we'll get back to that another time.
Why don't you just leave shit put, man, for once?
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I might want to call the cops. There might be a serial killer going on.
Well, at least there was 41 years ago.
Yeah. Speaking of people who kind of fake stuff, the funniest fucking video is going around. It just got released a few days ago. It's awesome. It's a Chinese guy who taught himself.
How do you drive off a plane?
No, he taught himself MMA.
Self-taught MMA fighting.
Really?
But here's the funny part. He then started challenging all of these grand masters of like Tai Chi and Kung Fu and stuff and beating the fuck out of them.
What?
Yeah, so like he challenged some grand Tai Chi master and he's like, listen, you guys are using antiquated martial arts. This doesn't work anymore in the face of modern day martial arts. And he's like one of those Evan Tanner guys. If you guys don't know, Evan Tanner was, before he passed away, a famous UFC fighter who taught himself MMA through VHS videos. And
I didn't know that about him.
Yeah, and he's...
Did he also teach himself how to survive in the desert?
Yeah, he taught himself hiking.
No, he didn't. No, he did not.
How to ride a motorcycle, how to fix one too.
That is...
How to hydrate.
That is harsh. I'm sorry to Evan Tanner's family. But anyway...
Yeah, they're listening.
So this Chinese guy, he challenged the Tai Chi guy, and it was I think 11
well,
and a half.
I could beat up a Tai Chi guy. That's just a dude moving slow.
Isn't that a glorified masseuse?
Yeah, pretty much.
No. There's a martial arts element to Tai Chi.
And capoeira while we're at it.
And he challenged
dance
him,
fighting.
And he beat the fuck out of him real fast. And it was like 11-second fight. You can look it up online. And then he said, listen, anybody, any Kung Fu guy, any Tai Chi guy, any Wing Chun guy, bring it. You're going to see how outdated it is. By the way, I'm not even really an MMA fighter. I learned this shit on YouTube. But it's just so superior that even though you are a grand master, and I am literally as amateur can be, I will still take you on. In fact, I will take on two or three of you at a time.
Okay, a couple things. How do you know this isn't a work of some sort? Like,
right.
These guys he's fighting are just
shills. Okay, fair enough.
Second thing. As much as I want to believe this because it sounds fucking cool,
yeah.
I feel like in maybe a month we're going to find out this was some sort of viral promotion for
it could
a movie
have been.
That's like Ip Man 4.
Yeah.
it could have been. What I love is...
He's eating 3D Doritos the entire time.
Mountain Dew Code Red.
My favorite thing is to go look at the comments section. Cause
Code Red Belt.
I love when delusional people get angry. It's like one of my favorite little tiffs in life. And so I went.
That's why you love Alex Jones so much.
That's what it is, actually. And so I went and I read through the comments and there are all these people like, you would never, if you saw my crane style, you would get destroyed. If it's outlawed in the UFC, that's why I can't use it. But you have no idea. And they're like, I love how angry these people get. And I get it. Like, I did traditional martial arts. I did taekwondo for a while. I did judo. I did that kind of stuff. There is a different reverence in those martial arts for the age and the antiquity. And before the UFC came around, every one of those was claiming, we are the ultimate martial art.
Yeah, this guy is like the new Hoist Gracie, because that's how the UFC started.
Basically, he's the Chinese Hoist Gracie.
Yeah. Hoist Gracie was like, hey, I can beat all your asses. Let's fight.
Yeah, exactly. And it is interesting because MMA has developed so much in such a short amount of time. I mean, where it has gone from the early 90s till now is insane. You bring up Hoist Gracie. Hoist Gracie is a great example. Hoist Gracie couldn't make it into the base leagues of Bellator.
No.
In modern day
Liddell's
times.
Talking about a comeback. That would not go well.
No. None of these guys. It's progressed.
I love that
so
article,
fast.
By the way. It said, Chuck Liddell might come back. Depending on the opponent.
Right.
I think Evan Tanner might be at the top of that list.
Right, if he came back against Kimbo Slice, dead Kimbo Slice, that might be good. But other than that, let's keep Chuck out of the ring. He's gotten hit in the head too much. It's progressed so fast that we're all of a sudden finding out there's a lot of bullshit. Like, a lot of those guys who can do all the cool, fancy kick moves and stuff, even if you look at Taekwondo. That used to be considered one of the most legit martial arts because it was actually a sparring martial art. You would spar people. Now all of a sudden people are like, wait a second, you actually really shouldn't kick with your foot. That's actually a pretty bad plan. You're likely to break your foot. And in fact, the Thais have it figured out. These shin leg kicks and stuff are way more effective. These roundhouse kicks are way more effective. Your little snap kicks aren't that great. Meh, maybe Taekwondo's got definitely has some good maneuvers, spinning back kicks and stuff like that. But for the most part, meh, kind of useless. That has been broken down really in the last 15 to 20 years. That's amazing, because for the past couple hundred, you would have whoever it is saying, I'm from this dojo. We are the best. We own it. And all of a sudden, those guys are getting taken out by guys who fucking learn their shit on YouTube.
Right. Did he take out anyone from the Taekwondo discipline? Because Tai Chi, I get. Capoeira, I get. But Taekwondo, I wouldn't put a black belt in Taekwondo against a YouTube practitioner.
No, but Taekwondo is not a Chinese martial art. And a lot of the Chinese martial arts are much more that style. You get a lot of Wing Chuns. You get a lot of Kung Fus. You get a lot of the ones that are designed.
Wing Chun's retarded.
I mean, they're designed where they look impressive. And guess what? If you don't know martial arts, then yes, you will beat the shit out of that person with that martial art. That's the same with any martial art. You know, if you know a specific martial art and that person knows nothing, then you will win that fight.
Sure.
Once you compare it to something like MMA, which is scientifically the best, you know, maneuvers and the best tactics and the best techniques of each martial art, they lose every time. And yeah, a Taekwondo guy against a random guy who doesn't know much will probably win. But a Wing Chun guy against the guy who learned on YouTube? I'm going to go with the guy who learned MMA on YouTube.
I don't know, man. If he can beat the Baseball Furies, then we'll talk. Make it to Coney Island. Fight Shores at the end.
Yeah, I'll be the boss. Oh, my God. I'd love to be a video game boss. I just throw fucking cigarettes at you.
You just berate the person until they give up.
I just start ranting. You see their health bar going down? You know what's funny is I've been playing a lot of old school Nintendo lately. Grooves left his system over here at the house, and the games I tried to.
Hang on, I'm looking up a clip of Milhouse putting his name in the Bone Storm as Thrill House.
I gravitated towards there's a shop near my house that sells old Nintendo cartridges. I gravitated towards all the old movie licenses. I gravitated towards all the video games that like were old movie licenses: Home Alone, Jaws, Ghostbusters. I don't think there was a type of video game that was more poorly executed than a game based on a movie for the original Nintendo. I don't know what they were thinking, but you have to like kind of see what they were going for. Like, oh yeah, I remember in Predator when he wore a pink wrestling singlet and no shoes. Oh, and remember how there was all those flying barracudas coming at him? I remember that part. What were they thinking? I don't understand what their process was creatively.
Dude, I grew up with Atari, and one of the worst ones for there was they made a game for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
And the graphics were shit, just like garbage. But on top of that, the game made no sense at all. Like, you'd just be walking around, and a swarm of tsetse flies would come over and sting you, and you would be paused for like 4 seconds. And then you would keep walking. And I'm like, what the?
What was the point of that?
I know. The entire game was just like, I don't get it.
Well, I think that was back in the time when they were still discovering kind of attaching things to marketing. They were still figuring out how to do it. Like, there's this famous story of George Lucas when he sold the rights to the movies. He's like, oh, yeah, you guys, the studio, you guys can buy the rights to the movies, but I want to keep all rights to merchandise and action figures. And they're like,
right.
Oh, you want your $8 in revenue? Go for it, Lucas. Yeah. Nice job. And then that ended up being way more profitable than anything else like in history.
Yeah.
And he made all his money off of it. I think at the same time, people were like, huh, we've got a movie title. We've got a random kind of base for a game that somebody has already developed in some kind of basement in Japan. Let's meld these two together and make some fucking cash.
Yeah. I think that's where it was, because they seldom had anything to do with one another. I'm like, what does this even have to do with Home Alone? Why is he jumping over little scorpions and spiders? I don't understand that. Why in Ghostbusters? I don't remember that ghost.
Let's redo Home Alone. Let's do the Home Alone series. Let's redo it as a horror movie series where Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern's characters are pedophiles. And it's an actual horror movie. You're terrified. Don't get your fucking hands on this kid.
You're not going to top Hard Candy.
I was thinking the same thing. I was playing the Home Alone game on Nintendo and basically just running through a maze with like little characters, I guess, are supposed to be Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern chasing you. I'm like, no. Let's make this levels. I want level number one. The boss is his cousin Fuller, and he throws Pepsi bottles at you and tries to urinate on you. boss number two, level two, Uncle Frank, that keeps yelling, look what you did, you little jerk. And then after everyone goes to bed, he tries to touch you. You know how they did in the movie. And,
hit B, sneak out of the bed, the other side.
Yeah. Tell him you're going to tell the cops. He's going to say he'll kill you, but don't listen to him. That's terror techniques.
So speaking of movie video games, you guys know the urban legend of the E.T. video game where they buried...
Right.
That's not a legend. That turned out to be very true. They found them.
Well, I was going to ask Bobby, like, why didn't you dig those up?
There was actually an archaeologist who dug those up.
An actual archaeologist.
Was he looking for something else?
No, I think they
He just really loved that game, and he's like, I'm going to get this shit.
there are guys who do this thing where they, like, try and map where certain things went, especially historic archaeologists, and they'll be like, all right, we know it went out in this dumpster. We have general records that say this dumpster dumped in this place at this time. And then we dig a few STP, standard test pits, where you go down and.
Stone Temple Pilots.
And you pull out the stuff, and then he goes, okay, well, based on the newspaper clippings and stuff, we think we're close. This is newspapers from the same neighborhood in the same time period, and they narrow it down, and then they eventually, I think,
wait,
they find
Bobby,
it.
Bobby, yeah. I just discovered something about you. If I accidentally threw away something,
right,
and it went out with the trash,
yes,
could you track it?
Yeah, probably. I'd probably, to the landfill? Yeah.
No, how would you do? Okay, all right. I'm gonna
Bobby
give you
actually has stuff of ours from the trash he's been secretly collecting.
I've been collecting them. I mean, it'd be easier just to go out to your trash. It's right the fuck
outside.
Yeah,
but where's the challenge?
Yeah.
You want to use that shovel?
No, I want to ask you a serious question here. Okay, so let's say Aaron threw out a big bag of my like tax receipts right before tax time.
Right.
And it went out with Tuesday's trash.
Yes.
How would you track those?
Okay, so let me say, first off, let's just start with you're fucked. You're not going to find those. But
all right. Well, that's the end of the story then, isn't it?
But let's say you had more resources because this would be
I threw out a Mastodon skull, right. You dork.
All right, there we go. We got to find it, right? Now, again, I am a prehistorics guy. I don't do a lot of the historic stuff, but I'll tell you how the historic guys do it.
Trying to fucking pad the bill a little bit.
Which is you find out where the general location is. Okay, we know it left from the Shores household on this particular day.
Tuesday.
We looked up the garbage company that you use. We look up
waste management.
Right. We look up, okay, they dump at the Convoy landfill.
They do.
Where does the Convoy landfill, where did they take their trash on this specific day? Where was it deposited? Okay, we have a general thing. It's a big area. We start digging what are called.
How big?
California. That's how big.
I mean, I would have to look at what they're doing, and we'd have to narrow down, you know, how many people are in the neighborhood and the whole nine yards. But let's say we have an area that's, you know, a couple of the size of a few football fields.
Okay.
You start digging what are called STPs, which are standard
stone
test pits.
Pilots.
You start digging Stone Temple Pilots, basically.
When
you
hit dig up Scott Weiland.
When you hit Scott Weiland, you know something.
I like it was like Frasier and Cheers, where he's like trying to tell the tale of two cities to Norman Cliff and just changes it to Ninja Turtles so they'll listen. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times when
you just Simpsons clipped us, but with the Cheers instead.
I did.
So we would dig some STPs, which are basically 30-centimeter round holes that you dig down, and you screen everything in there.
How far down?
And you pull it out. It depends. So if you're doing prehistoric...
Too much it depends. I don't like the methodology here.
All your answers are it depends.
Science is dependent.
On what?
On the factors that you find. So if we keep finding stuff, let's say we get to a level that's below the area that Ryan wants. We find
level
stuff
seven.
From 3 weeks before Ryan is looking, right? Okay, now we're too deep.
Now we've hit a time paradox.
Now we're too deep, so we're going to go up a little bit higher.
Oh, by the way, Bobby, when you're looking for that Mastodon skull, if you see little straws cut up with a little white residue in them, not mine.
Even it's a weird cooking thing.
But bring them home just in case.
Yeah.
If you get all of them together, there might be some flour in there that I can use. So bring them back to me.
Yeah. Certainly so, burn it and inhale the fumes.
Then we set a line of those. Let's say a line that's 200 yards long, and think of a cross. So two lines of these that cross each other, and we start narrowing in on where the time and the location is. So we start finding some of your neighbor's trash, but it's from a little bit older. And then we start finding some of your trash, and it's from
Lee Jones's trash is very identifiable.
I would imagine. Imagine it would
also
be.
Toxic.
It just says "Yeah, dog" written on it in Sharpie for days.
Yeah, for some reason, I imagine everything Lee Jones owns has Lee Jones written on it in Sharpie.
Yeah,
and so we would do that until we narrowed down the specific area. Then,
until Ryan Shore's like, you know what? Forget it. This is taking too much time.
Right.
I was like, ooh, off the hook, finally. Yeah.
And then when we got that specific,
did I say Mastodon skull? I threw away an old soda can. Sorry.
When we got to that specific area, we would then switch from STPs to standard test units, which are larger.
We switch from STPs to Pearl Jam.
Yeah. they're done more detailed every 10 centimeters, more thoroughly screened. And then once we do that, we can narrow down the specific area and then hopefully find the exact spot.
What is your ugly, fat porn star ex-coworker have to sift through my trash? That's what I want to know.
If we bring anything back to the office, she would be sifting through stuff. That's true.
Good.
Yeah. I know these people. I know everybody here.
Yeah. She knows Ryan Shores on a biblical level.
This is a Thriller CD. I know him.
Oh, look, it's a weeknight. I gotta wrap this up. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. Fuck you, you dumb fuck.
Ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Ooh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.